WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
I'm not going to sing. It's not happening.
The government can. And who can tax the sunrise?
Sunrise.
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, because they mix it up with lies and make it all taste
and
good.
Mix it up with lies.
Bill Gates has a whole agenda of pushing the fake lab-grown meat insects. He's got a business interest in this fake meat business. So being America's largest farmland owner, he'll have all sorts of leverage in order to fight that. But anyway, so they're going to control our energy, and that's the whole idea of the Green New Deal, is make energy scarce, make it just like meat, rare and expensive. So all these solar and wind mandates, if solar and wind truly were able to replace fossil fuels, if it was truly cheaper, you wouldn't need to mandate them and ban the other forms of energy. The same thing with internal combustion engine. The internal combustion engine, if electric cars are so great, why do you have to ban their competition?
Well, welcome to the Don't Back Down show. That was an interesting introduction with all the good stuff that's there, right?
I was waiting for it to keep playing. I didn't even want to go on the air.
Oh, yeah, we wanted to keep on singing. But, you know, just in case you don't know, that's my fabulous co-host, Andy Teitelman, which I spelt the right way today. And he told me that Joe Biden is like a computer with 19 tabs open, 17 are frozen, and he has no idea where the hell the music's coming from. And that's not a joke.
That's the truth.
That is the truth. I'm sorry. It's a joke that it's happening to us. That's the problem. Thank you. He's up with it today. He will get a pay raise. We're going to do the minimum wage here is $2.
No. We're going to be just like the California fast food restaurants. It's going to be $20 an hour, but we're going to fire everybody and have it done by AI.
AI. That's the only way to do it.
I'll take an out-of-state check.
And of course, that'll probably bounce as well as any of our checks will do. And by the way, that's our production engineer and sound mixer with the drum rolls and everything else. And he told me if feminists don't wear face masks because they're mandated, that's TJ, his sidekick Sam, and new guy who's not here today, which I really miss, Josh. Anyhow, and my favorite joke of the week is Finland just closed its border. And you know what that means, Andy?
I'm not going to take your punchline from you, Stan.
You know what that is, Malcolm?
No.
Nobody can cross the finish line. Yes. All right.
This is where we lose listeners, but it's okay. Stan has a lot of fun getting us there.
So we usually have a few minutes before we get to our guest. And by the way, I took my speed this morning along with running
Adderall,
everything else, because I got to keep up with him because you know, the books are driving me crazy. I can't even sleep at night reading all his books. He keeps on writing new ones. But we'll get into Malcolm in a minute. But I happened to see a documentary this week which really struck me as the perfect example of the inverted justice system we have today. Mm. And I'm going to ask you to go back, and some of you may know this, but go back to the early 1900s. There was a fighter, Jack Johnson, who was a black man. And originally he could only fight in black fights, and the whites fought in a separate fight. But what Jack Johnson did, he followed the champion around, the white champion around all over the world until he finally got a fight. So he has the fight, and he wins, and now he's the first black world welterweight or heavyweight champion of the world. And at that point, the white population at that time, And you got to put yourself back there. You can't. This is the way life was. They said, well, we can't have that. So here is where the inversion comes in. And I'm going to ask you to think about it in terms of today. So the U.S. Justice Department began to investigate Jack Johnson for possible violations of the Mann Act. And almost from that moment, the law went into effect in 1919, all the prosecutors did was try to find something for 2 years to get this guy. They were looking at every possible law that they could get rid of this guy in some fashion. The U.S. District Attorney James Wilkerson began the building a federal case against him. And he, despite some of the cautions by a couple of lawyers, and finally they were able to build this case against him. But Johnson then took a car, went to Canada, and went to Europe because they kept on trying to drain him, lawsuits and everything else. Fast forward 110 years, 120 years, and you could substitute Jack Johnson's name with Donald Trump. And some of the outrageous laws that they are trying to go after him about the laws that were never intended to be what they are, victimless crimes, crimes that aren't even crimes because nobody lost anything. And in fact, he had no control over appraisals or values or anything else. Of course, they go after him. But as it's been brought out, that who's the comedian that supposedly undervalued his house for tax purposes by 829%, and they're not going after him for the same thing. So you talk about inversion of the law and where you see that. And by the way, most of these things were occurred. Most of these guys were in the Democratic Party back then and today. So it's really quite an inversion of the law. So my feeling is today, people wake up. We have a government that is totally out of control and is destroying everything that makes America great.
Well, that leads into my rant very nicely because I'm going to address something that we're going to be talking about more in the second
hour. Yes, the Northampton Four.
Well, that's going to be our second hour guest. We're going to have four people who are still, I believe, on the Northampton County Republican Committee, but they've been precluded from attending meetings, and there's criminal charges against them. And it even delves into the world of pornography and Pornhub, with two of the remaining executive board members being Pornhub performers, and they're being protected by the chairman of the Northampton County Republican Committee. But that's only the superficial. We're going to address that in full steam in the second hour. My point is this. I'm looking at one of the articles, and I've been using this about this Northampton County scandal, and I've been using this analogy for a long time. But there's a picture of a circular firing squad, and that is what the Republican Committee, the Republicans have become nationwide. But in Pennsylvania, I think we are one of the worst examples of how bad it can be. You look at the Democrats, and it doesn't matter what their positions are. It doesn't matter how absurd they are.
They're always shooting out because even if their candidate is a murderer or a criminal, it doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't matter. They support each other, and you know, they deserve a little bit of credit for being able to keep a unified front going. Whereas the Republicans, we shoot at each other. We don't support the right things. We don't stand up for our own positions and our own committee. And this is really a plea to the Pennsylvania GOP and all of the county committees in our state. You got to get your act together, or we're going to be shooting ourselves in the foot again in 2024. And I'm afraid that we're going to get what we deserve if we don't stand up for what we believe. And that's my rant.
I'm going to shoot you, TJ.
Well, one of the things we do is we can always. It seems that they always snatch defeat out of victory because of their inability to come together. If they get the emotion out of these things and start thinking common sense and say, okay, this is good, this is good. For example, I always put a chart up when I'm going to vote for a very important candidate, and I want to see where he's voted or she's voted, the pros and cons of it, and if there's more checks in the columns that I appreciate, then that person's got my vote. And I just can't believe anybody would have any checks in Biden's column. I mean, just to me, it's an impossibility that can happen. So
yet the Democrats pretend that he's the best thing since sliced bread, and that he's actually competent, knows what he's doing, and they act like we're crazy for not believing that. So I give them credit for being able to put up a unified front, no matter how ridiculous it is.
And he does have one black friend whose name is Popcorn.
It wasn't his friend, wasn't he? He was supposed to hit him with the chain.
Oh, I don't know. Jesus.
That's back when he was a lifeguard and the black kids used to stroke the blonde hairs on his leg.
Yeah.
It's revolting.
Oh, my God. Just think of who we got as president.
No, we don't have a president. We have a pretensident.
A president, pretensident. You do that very well. Anyhow, so we're going to get ready. We're going to get ready. As I told you, I took my Adderall and everything else to up. Get my game up even more than I usually am ADD to begin with. So now I'm like really charged up because I got to keep up with this guy. And if I start talking really fast, it's because I got to keep up with him right now. In any event, we've got Malcolm Collins, whose dear wife was on last week and who's running.
Simone
Collins. She's running for the 150th district and
state representative.
We need her in the PA House. Extremely common sense person, just brilliant young, brilliant woman. That we need to have there.
But supposed to be introducing Malcolm.
But I am.
Okay, good.
She's contrasting. Common sense woman married to a wacko.
No, I wouldn't call you that because let me tell you, he's got so many books up there. I have my audio books on fast speed so I can get through them. So if I talk to like Mickey Mouse, you'll know why. But anyhow, his books include A Guide to Relationships, Guide to Crafting Religion, Guide
common
to Sexuality.
Common sense guy, right?
The pragmatist, Guide to Governments, Guide to Life, and he's got other books that he wants to write, which I'm sure they'll be just as – these are very powerful books, and if you can get the audiobooks where he does the reading, Ian, I will tell you to slow it down a little bit, but in any event, it's just a pleasure to listen to him talk about this stuff. He has a BA in neuroscience from St. Andrews University, an MBA from Stanford University, computer technology, NeuroSky. He's into everything. He's got I think the most important thing, Malcolm, which really impresses me, because of your ADD, you're one of these hyperactive people. I can't imagine being around you when you were a child. It must have been like, what was it, the Road Runner? Pepe Le Pew? Or no, not Pepe. Who was the
I know who you mean, like the swirling dervish. Yeah, what was it?
Tasmanian Devil.
The Tasmanian Devil. Yeah. So that must have been what it was like. But because of your experiences that you had, you and your wife have embarked on a school that helps to take kids that are of these special kids and actually help them fit into society and recognize their ability to really create a new world.
Well, not just that. I mean, the reason, what motivates us with our school system is our pronatalist advocacy. What we're most publicly known at is the pronatalist couple, the quote-unquote elite couple breeding to save mankind. And I'm like, I don't write the headlines. I didn't choose to call myself that. That was somebody who hated me who wrote that. But what we are trying to do is people say, well, how do you protect high fertility rates? And I go, you need to protect high fertility cultural groups. And you say this to a progressive and they go, oh, that's great. Protect cultural diversity. And I'm like, yeah, so most of these groups are religious conservative groups. And they're like, oh, no, we need to save those kids from their, savage parents. This progressive culture is the descendant of earlier European imperialism that believes it has a manifest destiny over the entire earth. And the best way for it to convert kids to its worldview is through the school system where it has a monopoly. And so if I can create an alternative that doesn't try to brainwash kids, that doesn't try to strip a kid's culture from them, that will do more in terms of protecting traditional and diverse value systems in this country than anything else I can do, and do more to fight fertility collapse.
So you really believe in the content of a person's character as opposed to any other issues there. You just want to see the person, whoever that is, wherever they come from, whatever religious background or anything else like that, you're just looking to recognize the quality of these young people and steer them in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember I was talking to a reporter once and they asked me a question, like it was a got you question. And they're like, wait, so you don't think that, certain ethnic groups should be given handicaps in the school system? And I was like, and they asked it like, I can't believe he's going to say this. And I was like, I have a extremist conservative opinion on race, which is that we should be judged by the content of our character and not the color of our skin. I understand that today.
Yeah, I think there was somebody in front of
that. Academics call this a racist perspective.
This is why they call you Malcolm Luther King. Now I get it.
Yeah, I was just going to say there was a speech by somebody in front of Lincoln Memorial, back in 1964 or something like that I remember very distinctly. And Yeah, they just can't get over this virtue signaling about race and everything else, which is another mechanism to drive us apart, and also lowering the ability of people to attain the best, be the best versions of themselves.
Oh, actually, so there's this great study that was done recently that it showed if you look at the difference between the average black and the average white test scores in regions, and you look at how conservative those regions are, the more conservative a region is, the smaller the difference is. So we can see, and this is also true of Hispanic test scores and white test scores in regions. So conservative government.
Just say that again. So what you're saying, that in areas where there are similarities of ability as far as, you know, the outlook on life and how they cherish life and things like that, doesn't make any difference. What race or whatever you're from, the scores are pretty much right on par together.
Well, they're closer together. Yeah. It turns out that the conservative mindset does more to promote equality in regions and equality of outcomes in regions than even these affirmative action policies do, which is wild, at least intergenerationally, right? And it shows, and one of my favorite statistics that I will never stop quoting until the end of the day is there has been this lie that the American people have been sold over and over again of a persistent, large, racist faction in the conservative base that is larger than their Democratic equivalent. Nate Silver, who does 538 polling, I don't know if you know, very mainstream polling organization. He did polls on this, and it turns out until Obama was elected, your average white Democrat was more likely to say they would not vote for a black president than your average white Republican. And even today, if you look at differences in racist racist opinions, it's like a 2-3% difference between the two parties. It is a complete myth that has been sold to the American people.
Yeah, the interesting thing is black conservatives are black, and I call it conservative, but I consider myself a common sense person first. It just happens to be that most common sense people happen to be conservative, just the way it is. But when we find black, Asian, Hispanic, common sense conservative people, the hatred to them is even worse than they are for any white person who's a conservative, a common sense conservative person. It's unbelievable what they're doing with Tim Scott and Alan West. I mean, Alan West ran in Florida.
They declared Alan West white.
That was really funny. And who's the Deborah Wasserman Schultz ran a campaign against him that was so racist. It was unbelievable, some of the things that they did for him.
So the left, what they have done is they have stolen the identity of various ethnic groups, and now they police these identities, like Biden saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And they mean this very literally. You do not get to use any special status that we assign to the minority group that you are a part of if you do not ideologically follow us. And it's not just that this has happened to the black population. Another stat that I absolutely love is 45% of gay men in the last election cycle voted for Trump. And yet the left uses a gay flag, you know, in front of all of the institutions that they have conquered as if this is their flag, right? They don't, the people who fought for gay rights back in the 80s, the majority of the quote unquote LGBT population were gay men. You know, historically, that was what most gay people were. Now, this is a politically neutral faction. And the gay flag was originally created, you know, it was a striped flag and each stripe had a meaning, but it wasn't a meaning around a sexuality. It was like art, you know, love, you know, spiritualism, etc. They have started replacing a flag that represented inclusivity, everyone under a rainbow, with specific demographics. Oh, we need a black bar in here for black people. Oh, we need a brown bar in here for brown people. Oh, we need a transgender thing in here. Oh, we need an asexual thing in here. They are erasing inclusivity in doing that, and it's important to them because their new movement isn't about inclusivity. It's about some groups are more equal than others. I mean, Animal Farm called this exactly.
I was just going to say, sounds like Animal Farm.
You know, we're listening to Malcolm Collins, you know, prolific writer and so many more things. And if you can keep up with him, then you're doing great.
Because, and it is the Don't Back Down show with Stan Gazzaccio and Andy Teitelman. Don't forget we're here.
We're trying to keep up, and we're doing – I actually find myself talking faster today. I don't know what it is.
I see that. And TJ said your voice is deeper.
Yeah, yes. And TJ's sliding back and forth in the room over there. So this is very exciting for us because just the nature of the intensity that you offer, and this is common sense stuff. This is what gets me. Your books are so well written with the information, and I must tell you, there's some points in there where you put the little asides you got to refer this. And they're actually pretty funny. And my wife's going, what are you listening to? Because I had its heads on. And she thinks I'm just laying there. And I start laughing. She's, what are you laughing at? I said, oh, this Malcolm is really great. I love his books. So please go on audiobooks, Kindle, get some of his books, and you'll have a great time.
Or check me out on Basecamp. You can find this on any podcasting stores or on YouTube.
Why don't you give that information?
Well, I mean, we do daily things on that. But I want to, you know, I want to reference what you were talking about at the beginning of the show. Because I think we can look at this and we can act as if what's happening to Trump right now is a particularly unusual phenomenon. When it isn't exactly, every time a democracy begins to break down and turn into an authoritarian state, the very first thing that happens is the party in control begins to use the legal system to target their political enemies. When they begin to target open candidates for the executive office with spurious charges, you know, they're not charging him with murdering someone or hurting someone or doing, you know, weird things with this is all like white collar crime stuff, right? Like,
it's bad. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is. Yes. Insane that they're doing this. And another thing I want to say is you were talking about how, it's the Democrats back then and it's the Democrats today. And then people will come and they'll say, the party's switched. And I'm like, bro,
no.
You people would say, like, if you ask people in 100 years, about party switching, they'd be like, oh yeah, the parties in part switch occasionally, and they would note one of the times the party switched as the first election of Donald Trump. Because when Donald Trump became president, so many core Republican positions changed. And it's like, yes, parties switch some positions occasionally, but the core people in power, the cabals that were passing on the culture of the Democratic Party, those have stayed internally consistent from that time till now.
So you said something that hit a raw nerve for me about when democracies devolve into totalitarianism. You said it a little bit differently, but it's the same difference. Our country was supposed to survive that because we're actually a republic, and we were designed to keep the power separated into zones. And the first three are the governmental zones, legislative, executive, judicial. And the fourth zone is our freedom zone. And a lot of people refer to journalism as the fourth estate. That has been corrupted to the point now because it's all owned by the same small group of entities, so that we can no longer rely on the journalists to be our investigators, our truth tellers. And virtually everything we read in the mainstream media is nothing but brainwashing and lying and manipulation.
You can see that. They don't broadcast Trump's speeches at all. They refuse to do it. It's unbelievable. Hewitt, who is not a big Trump fan, is like so into Trump right now. It's unbelievable. And you know, he pointed out that the phenomenon of his rallies, if you haven't been to a Trump rally, I suggest you go to a Trump rally. The people there are so nice. You go there, everybody's there because we're all Americans. We want to hear this exciting things. And he's talking about this phenomenon has never existed in this country. He said, you know, that what Trump is doing is just unbelievable. And he said that one of the reasons why he lost in 2020, even though we have our own reasons for it, but one of the things that hurt him, he wasn't allowed to have those rallies because they shut him down because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're bringing out the new COVID now.
Oh, and by the way, Biden just decided to pass a new law now, and that is if you sink, you're okay. If you come to the surface, they have to burn you at the stake. That's the new law that they're doing.
Wait a minute. I thought the burning at the stake is where they determine who was legitimate.
No. That usually happens after they throw you in the water. And if you sink, that means that you were telling the truth. But if you float, that means you were lying. Therefore, you get burned at the stake.
Oh.
Okay. You know.
Well, I want to.
Because the only way they do it is you lose no matter what you do with Democrats.
Yeah. I want to elevate something that you mentioned there, that the country was built to have three branches of government that could moderate each other. And there are two big things that allowed us to sort of spiral away from that path. With the first being the creation of the CIA. We used to have intelligence agencies during wars, but we never had a standing intelligence agency that wasn't truly subordinate to government.
Until like 1948, 47.
And we know, you know, if we look historically at CIA documents, we know all the crazy stuff they did, like really crazy stuff, like drugging American citizens and stuff
unknown
like that.
Unknown to them.
Yeah.
Sticking them on the front line when they were blowing up an atomic bomb. sending soldiers out there to see what happens.
So we know that in a historic context, whatever checks and balances.
Experiments with LSD.
We're working. And the reason why it's dangerous, it's nothing intrinsic to the CIA, but these organizations can become ideologically captured. And we have seen that the sort of woke mind virus is very good at capturing bureaucratic organizations, of which this is good. If wokeism is capturing the CIA, which I've heard it is, how can you fight something like that, right? And then they can use their resources to ensure ideological conformity. The other thing is the school system. The school system is where we are supposed to be imparting information to the next generation. We focus so much on media being captured because that's where we as adults interact with truth. But we haven't seen how far and how extreme the school system has gone, which is horrifying because we don't know. I think many people think that the school system is just incrementally changed from when they were kids, where it has changed.
It's changed tremendously. I believe, and Malcolm, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, and I've said this before. Yeah. When I went to high school, they were still reading, and I went to Catholic school in grade school, but I went to Cheltenham in high mm-hmm. school. And by the way, I went to school with the Yanni Natahayu, Benjamin's brother. Netanyahu's brother. Yanni was in my class, I knew him very well. But what was happening that year, they eliminated reading the Bible or teaching anything religious in the schools. Mm-hmm. And so the emphasis went to all about the state. So when you have a school that they teach no moral value at all, no relationship between existing people, you know, to have empathy for your fellow person, you get these kids that beat kids up and smash their heads into concrete because they have no empathy at all. It's really based on the fact that this is one of the incremental changes that has really, I think, destroyed the human value that we learned in school.
I mean, they are reintegrating, quote unquote, morality into the school. I mean, I think it's better to have schools have no morality than allow the state to define morality, because now they are integrating into math, into science, you know, diversity, inclusion, and sustainability, where they have defined these terms as something very different than what they mean to, like, a sane adult. And when I'm talking about the school system being, you know, taken over here, one group that I wanted to talk about here is a group called Population Connection. So this group used to be called Zero Population Group and was founded by the originator of, like, the antinatalist movement or the degrowth movement, i.e. they want to make the world economy and population smaller, Paul R. Ehrlich. And it has bragged about training 100,000 teachers in America and Canada, and that these teachers now educate 3 million American and Canadian students a year. And I think some people who are younger, like my generation, may have even heard some of these ideas when they were growing up in school. We need to reduce the world's population. And they treat this as like a truism that's agreed upon by everyone.
Well, that they do that with all of their pseudoscience, don't they? Isn't that the hallmark of their positions?
From climate control, climate change to everything else, it's always, well, a consensus of all the scientists believe this.
It's like it's all been established.
Yeah, it's already – there's nothing to argue here. These have all done it. And yet there's been so many levels in which these scientists have been, you know, pretty much kicked out of their jobs. They can't publish anything. So they've been written mm-hmm. off. So therefore there's no really debate going on, which is really the sad thing. That's out there.
But that's how we beat them. At the end of the day, this is how we beat them. They have worked so hard to build ideological control into the academic system that it creates an opportunity, like as you see from my books, for independent people to make breakthroughs in fields that academia should be making on its own. Like the things that I'm discovering in these fields are low-hanging fruits, like my book on sexuality or relationships or governance theory. But the academics can no longer really study anymore. They can no longer really come up with new ideas anymore, which allows us – and the reason why I'm looking to create – people are like, you really think you can create something better than like the existing school system in terms of outcomes? And I'm like, one of my favorite studies, it was done by Peter Gray, and it was looking at unschoolers. I don't know if you guys know this. These are people who do nothing in terms of schooling. They just let their kids do whatever they want all day. It's not like regular homeschooling where you have a curriculum. These kids – get into college at higher rates than kids who go through public school.
And well, that's not saying much with the way college is right now.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is They are literally doing, like, literally doing nothing is better than the existing school system.
I can't fault that. But we are about to take a commercial break. But before we do that, I'm going to do one of those things that we used to do, Stan. Is it news or is it a joke? So it turns out that the Boeing 737 plane that Secretary of State Antony Blinken flies on had a mechanical failure, and he was forced to travel by vehicle to Paris for a NATO meeting in Brussels. And Pete Buttigieg, however you say that name, has just made a declaration in the name of aviation safety in America. They are now not permitting illegal immigrants to fly on any 737s, and they can only fly on Airbus equipment with free government tickets. Now, which part of that is true of either?
I could believe everything on that one. I got to tell you, I can believe everything on that one.
All right, we'll be right back with the Don't Back Down show with Stan Casaccio, Andy Tuttleman, and our first hour guest, Malcolm Collins.
Is the real estate market going to crash in Philly and the suburbs? Diane Cardano-Casaccio here from the Cardano team. Don't believe the mainstream media hype. Here's the facts. Mortgage rates are coming down, and they're expecting rate cuts in time for the spring market. And inventory is on the rise as new listings surged by 9%, and total inventory increased by 5% last month. Seize the opportunity to start the home selling process. Get me in your home now. I'm your expert, your advocate, with local market insights. My eye-catching marketing brings buyers flooding in, driving up prices. Plus, I provide complete staging guidance with our contractors, ready to make your home shine without you lifting a finger. Don't wait for the wave. Ride it with me. Call me Diane Cardano now, your no-nonsense realtor, and get a free copy of my 2024 Real Estate Handbook by calling 215-576-8666 or go online at 215-576-8666.com.
What exactly is DEI? So let's just take a few seconds just to define those very briefly. Diversity, which is the presence of difference within our workforce. Equity. When you think about equity, you also need to think about equality, because those terms are often used interchangeably. So when you think about equality, which is the end state that we want to achieve, or the equality of outcomes, think about equity as the route that we take to get there. How do we assess those different barriers and access the information to ensure that we all have the equal access to that outcome that we want to achieve? Then inclusion is just creating that culture of belonging. How do we ensure that our entire workforce is able to thrive and develop in the current environment?
What the hell was that? I mean, you said you were going to explain it in a few seconds. I have no idea what you just said, and you're the expert. It's like somebody poured a Zima all over ChatGPT's motherboard. In that mess of gobbledygook, he says, however, that equity is the path to equality, which is complete and utter Equity is the opposite of equality. Equality is about opportunity. Equity is about outcomes. And if you control for outcomes, you eliminate opportunity. In short, equality is about the starting line, where we all start with the same chance. Equity starts at the finish line, where we all land in the same spot and work backwards. How easy is that? Equality is possible. Equity is impossible. Look at it this way. Equality is putting me and Tyrus into a wrestling ring and watching me die. Equity is putting me and Tyrus into a wrestling ring with me wearing an Iron Man suit equipped with laser guns and still watching me die. It's literally impossible to create equal outcomes in a universe of individuals. That's why you rarely see a virtual tie in a foot race. DEI is the most anti-individualist endeavor ever, for it assumes that there's no diversity among individual talents, which is why they hamper excellence by promoting mediocrity. And now we're preaching this crap in the greatest military on the planet? Why don't we just turn the keys to the Pacific Fleet over to the Chinese right now? This is supposed to be the only place left that depends on meritocracy. But then again, if you look around the rest of America's storied institutions, we've ditched that gold standard. So why should the military be any different? Look, I just want the deadliest military on Earth, not the most diverse. I don't care if our soldiers are straight. I just want them to shoot straight.
So that takes up from the diversity, equity, and inclusion meme that we left for the commercial break with. And you are joining us back with the Don't Back Down show. And it's Dan Casaccio, me, Andy Tuttleman, and our first hour guest, Malcolm Collins. And we now have a full studio.
We now have the Northampton 4. Or now 5 or 6, whatever it is here now. All of a sudden,
oh, so wait for the second hour for that.
But you think this is fast. Holy cow. Wait for the next hour.
Stan, this is Malcolm's fault. He's a pronatalist, and look how the population has grown in this studio in just a matter of minutes. It's unbelievable.
So go ahead. So we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I want to. So I am known as like the pronatalist guy, right? Like, or I guess the de facto head of the pronatalist movement. And the media has done so much to drag me through the mud. And it seems like the most reasonable thing, you know, this movement is to just say, let's notice that fertility rates are falling really quickly and be considerate of how much this is going to affect our civilization. And you wonder, like, why? Why is like the UN Populations Division not putting up red flags about this right now? And so here I would direct your attention to an organization called earthforall.life. And this is a quote from their own website. So this is not me drawing spurious connections here. Earth for All can trace its origins to the Club of Rome commissioned report, The Limits to Growth, published 50 years ago. Back then, scientists used early computer models to show that Earth's finite resources would eventually buckle under the weight of material consumption. So you had mentioned you'd heard of the Club of Rome before.
Like absolutely. It's an evil organization.
Yeah. So the lady who runs this, Earth for All, Sandrine Dixon, she's the co-president of this, but she is also the co-president of the Club of Rome. She has done things like chaired the UN COP26 World Leader Summit. So these groups are like directly in bed with each other. If you go to the like who's on board with this section, they have people like Anders Wilkman, who was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations Policy Director from 1995 to 1997, and Janez Patalik, who was the co-chair of the UN International Resource Panel.
That UN name keeps coming up a lot. Malcolm, I have a question for you. You can take this up, but where do these people derive their actual authority from? Why do they think they have a right to tell us anything about what we can do, how many kids we can have, what we can eat, because what we can drive?
Because they're the smartest people in the world.
No, but where'd they get the authority? I don't remember electing any of them. In fact, I don't even remember electing who we have in office now, so maybe I don't have a right to talk.
Well, I mean, they've worked their way up through bureaucracies, and as we know, bureaucracies select for the most moral and hardworking individuals in society.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
So this organization, if you look at their graphs, their goal is by 2100, an 81% reduction in childbirths. So everything's going to plan, and this is not me like making up like out there connections. This is all stuff on their own websites.
And this all connects to the open border policy, because they need to have people to replace us and to work here, and they're just bringing in another class of people, and they're telling us not to have babies, and they're promoting us
but
killing babies.
We referred to the Animal Farm earlier, and if you remember at the very end of that book, the pigs were all eating inside the house and the animals were still outside in the slop and everything else. And that's what you have. These people all want to be the pigs inside the house.
I think it's an insult to compare pigs to Democrats. I think the pigs deserve a lot more credibility, Stan. I take that back.
Okay. Well, I stand corrected.
I don't know if you've heard theories about the overproduction of the elite. But it's one of the core things that's causing their system to buckle is people who associate with this class in our society have been overproduced by the educational system to the extent that the system can no longer support them. And that's why you have all these, you know, starving reporters now who thought that they were part of this class, but now realize that they had no job security, that are doubling down on all of their crazy positions in media.
Well, with artificial intelligence and like ChatGPT taking over the writing job, we found out that those without intelligence shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah. Well, okay. So now
artificial is better than nothing.
So now I can get conspiratorial, because I was saving this for this show because you had mentioned it on the last show. And I was like, you know what? I've never really dove into this point. So I'll pull together a few just things.
TJ, we need some somber music here.
Say, things that I have sort of receipts for around my family. If you look at the book, The Bloodlines of the Illuminati, which was like the main book on the Illuminati that was put out in the 1970s. It's even like hosted on the CIA website. This is what conspiracy theorists think. My dad was supposed to be one of the leading members of this organization. If you look at my wife and mine's career, right? I also have, and I realize I won't mention direct, but I have a familial connection to the last president of the Bohemian Grove, which is a public organization. So they have to list publicly who the guy who's running it is. And so I look at this stuff.
Who's in charge of keeping the Baphomet clean in the grove?
Yeah. Well, and then I look at like what my wife and I have done, and we've been leading many you could consider sort of counter organizations to this stuff. So Peter Thiel set up a secret society called Dialogue that my wife was managing director of for a while. And then we were hired by Schmidt Futures, which was Eric Schmidt's org, to build out a invitation-only, no media organization for them. That's what people say. They go, oh, this isn't a secret society. It's just an invitation-only, no media organization. I'm like, okay, whatever you want to call it, right? But we ended up getting fired from that when they found out we were Republicans. So we've been really connected to this sort of world of what people consider like conspiratorial things. And I've always blown it off because I am largely unaware of any conspiracy theories. But I began to think after our last show, well, what if it's just been hidden from me? I mean, it is true that I was removed from my family by court order when I was around 13, and sent to like a prison alternative system. And then from that age, I then went to live at a reform school, and then I went to live at a boarding school, but I never really lived with my family again. And my family recently had all of their money disappear due to long things, but it was, people can Google this. And so if I put all this together, what it could be telling is the story of a family who went against what the Illuminati wanted, or an Illuminati group that tried to kick out a specific individual or remove me from my family because they didn't think I would go along with what they wanted, which of course, I mean, now that I run the organization that is most antithetical to what most people think the Illuminati is aiming for, which is global degrowth and global mysticism. Because the other thing that we do a lot on our podcast is sort of call out and talk about the proliferation of this perennialist mystic cult that's been growing in a lot of religions.
Remind everyone where they can get your podcast.
Basecamp. They can find it on YouTube. They can find it on any of the podcasting things, Substack, etc. But
and the CollinsInstitute.org, which talks about your history and what you're doing in the educational world.
None of the sites mention any of this stuff because I find it to be all conspiratorial. It's just interesting to me, right?
Oh, no, I'm glad what you're talking about, but I want to know people where they can find out more about what you're doing. I mean, we're so deep in our conversation, we forget that we're here to promote you.
Yeah.
And we want people to know who you are. We want them to look you up, and we want them to see your material. So collinsinstitute.org, please check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I should say that one of the reasons why I never really read that much into it is I have enough insight into organizations like Skull and Bones and, you know, knowing people who are in that to know that it used to be like a real organization with some power. It has gone completely extremist woke now. They let in almost no, for example, cis white males anymore. And you can read, there's been some great exposés on this. So a lot of these organizations have been infected with the mind virus. And so I viewed them as sort of feckless. But if I'm going to take them as a real threat, and I am going to then look back and say, okay, well, so if my family really was a member of one of these organizations, when did they join, right? There is a specific individual where this would make sense. If you've ever heard of the Free State of Jones, this was a breakaway group in the southern United States that was an anti-slavery thing that tried to create a separate state from either the North or the South. And they 15 of the 50 founding members of that were either brothers or sisters or kids of brothers and sisters of my direct ancestors.
Oh, so that's now called Utah.
And they had a separate organization that they were running, my direct ancestors, which was a Jayhawker movement in Texas. And they were trying to create a sort of anti-U.S. State sort of thing down there because they weren't really happy with either party in the Civil War. And then the next generation, they're now a respectable politician who's getting things passed. You know, he passed the guy's kid. He passed child labor laws. He passed restrictions on how long a person could work. And then the generation after that, he's the guy, and people can watch our podcast Basecamp episode about this, Oh Brother Art Thou was about. He was funding a politician named Papio Daniel to try to defeat the Klan in Texas. And then after that, his kid was a congressman. So you see this radical shift. And then all of a sudden, if I had to say why did they join, it must have been to defeat the Klan, because I know that that was their core goal for a long time. And once the Klan was gone, then they were kicked out, or they were seen as they began to fight against whatever this organization was fighting for. So that's my conspiracy theory, if I'm just looking at the events around my life. But I have seen no evidence of this in my own life. Everybody seems to be a normal, nice person. But I guess I wouldn't know.
Well, there was a producer, and I can't think of his name now. He ended up dying untimely. He did the Eddie Murphy movie that was produced in Philadelphia. He got friendly with one of the Rockefellers, and the Rockefellers are considered one of the 13 families in the whole nine yards about what you're talking about. And they basically invited him to join up, but instead of doing that, he kind of went on a crusade. Aaron something. I can't think of his last name. And he went on a crusade against the IRS, and he did this documentary. Well done. You can still find it on the internet and some of the alt media places. And they took him out, because it seems like whoever starts telling too much of the truth, getting too much widespread coverage, they suddenly disappear in an untimely fashion.
It's like the mafia.
So what I'm trying to say is this. There are different levels of the Illuminati, just like the Masons have all these different degrees, and they say the ones that get to the 33rd degree are the real insiders. And I'm not sure how you get to be a real insider in any of these secret society groups. But I am convinced of this, whether it's the Club of Rome or the Vatican itself, or like Washington, D.C., which I call the District of Comedy now, because they have a Joker falling down the steps every time he gets on an airplane who pretends to be president. That's why I call him Pretendsident. We are still under the control of this small fraction of a percentage of people that have been there for thousands of years.
I can say. So the organization that my wife was managing director of, and the one that was founded by Peter Thiel, right? Like, the reason why they have to be secret, the reason why there's no media there and why it's invitation only, is because they're saying stuff that is super based there. Stuff, the people who control our society right now are the extreme woke. The people who are meeting in secret today are generally meeting in secret because what they're saying is stuff that the extreme woke don't want talked about.
They wind up in jail, like Navarro and anybody else, Giuliani.
What I actually think happens, the
other thing they say is, if you know the name, that's not who's in charge. It's like they filter the information out to us. So like we spoke earlier, and we said they have to put the truth out there because they have to get our assent. Even if we don't know we're giving it, by putting it out there and us ignoring it, that's an inverted assent. So,
well, I actually think something weird happened here. What I think happened is, within this generation, the groups that previously would have been these more secretive groups have essentially captured all of our power institutions in society, and therefore they no longer need the same secret groups that they did historically. If you go to the World Economic Forum now, it's invitation only, but it's not secret, because it's where the quote-unquote elites in our society go to basically be told the narrative that they're going to follow. For people who are working on any sort of a counter-narrative, they have to work in secret, because they will be sort of cut apart and dismantled.
Aaron Russo, the name came to me. I may be 65, but I'm not Biden demented.
Yeah. So interestingly, I don't think people should
have the same negative
reaction to secret societies anymore, because we have to remember that anyone who is seriously working to fight against this sort of woke global elite that controls everything right now, and I don't mean this in a conspiratorial lens, what I mean is the mindset, the cosmology of the people who control our media right now, it's largely identical across all networks. It is this urban monoculture.
It's the same six companies, all controlled by BlackRock and ultimately,
It goes deeper than this, though.
Vanguard.
You have to look at, if you look at the CCP, the Chinese Central Committee, you cannot become a manager of a manufacturing, you cannot be a CEO unless you're approved by the CCP. In effect, the Congress of the United States is becoming its own little woke organization. That is why I'm a big advocate of term limits, because power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to have term limits. We can't trust these people. You know, it's a good thing I don't have any rocks around, but I throw popcorn at the TV when I see Mitch McConnell on there because he's clearly one of these type of people.
Well, I mean, and they want
to do... We have it in our government right now.
Well, I mean,
excuse me, let me just finish this out. The people that have been fighting it, like Jordan, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and a number of congressmen and senators have been fighting it. They've just come in. They're the outsiders, and they want to push them down and get rid of them. AOC has become, for example, AOC has become part of it, and she's reaping the rewards. You know, here's a bartender who now goes out and buys $2,000 dresses, shows up at all these things. She's living large on other people's money. Because she wants to be part of this clique, and she's going to do whatever they tell her to do.
Well, and this is why we fund most of our own stuff. Like, and I think that when you talk about like they control who the business people are in the CCP, our government wants to do to Elon Musk what the CCP did to Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba.
Yeah, yeah.
He started speaking critical of the government, and they basically disappeared him, and now he has no power, and he knows never
he's
to talk
against his... He's somewhere in Hong Kong and living in a little apartment. They're one of the wealthiest guys in the world. They shut them right down.
Our government right now is doing the same thing to Elon Musk. They are trying to convince the general public that he is a bad guy. I see so many people who like buy this stuff, and I'm like, do you not understand like what he's fighting? He's fighting for free speech.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like,
but then he's putting brain implants in people, and he's part of the space program, which has its own. I'm suspicious of that to begin with. So I'm not sure what to make of Musk. I don't know where he fits into the scenario.
You might misunderstand. So my background.
I know you're into the neural thing. I get it.
Company I worked at was brain computer interface stuff. If we don't build this technology, they will.
He's talking about having your brain be able to control somebody with the paraplegic or something like that. A lot of these brain implants are gearing around how we can use the system to create these people have a better
quality
of
life. And then there's market of beast ideas here where you're connecting to machines
and we
don't belong doing that.
But wait,
you forgot to say who we are.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. I'm all in the Borg. The Borg are here.
What, of Neuralink?
Yeah, yes. Borg.
Or Mark of Beast.
We're going to be part of the Borg. We're going to be part of the, what do they call it in the Borg? You're part of the collective.
Yeah.
Actually, the Borg. I thought you said the Borg.
Come on, Star Trek.
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course I know Star Trek.
Yeah, but I really believe.
Stan, say who we are.
We are the Don't Back Down show. You're listening to that's Andy Teitelman, who believes in chemtrails and
I don't believe in them. They're there. He doesn't look up.
And the Earth is flat and a few other things. So we have some.
That's not exactly right, but it's not a spinning ball either.
So in any event, but what the movie Matrix came out, and I got to tell you, with AI and everything else, I believe we're moving to living in the Matrix, and I'm going to be on the spaceship with Keanu Reeves and Fishburne. That's where I'm going to be fighting this stuff.
Well, I mean, I think that people, and I love that I can be more conspiratorial on your show than I can be on our own podcast. That's why I've dropped some new information on this show.
I'd say inspirational, not conspiratorial. That word's been abused way too much since 1963.
Well, the conspiracy theorists are batting 9 out of 10 these days. You know, I don't know. I'm like, when
that's
I say
why they're
something
inspirational
at the conspiracy,
theories.
I'm like, well, all of the evidence does back it up, and they do say it on their own website, but I'm going to call it a conspiracy because it goes against the dominant narratives in our society that the UN has influence from organizations with but what I want to talk about is AI, space travel, stuff like that here, you know, whether it's Neuralink, anything like that. Technology is changing at an extremely rapid pace.
And let me just interrupt you. We've always feared as human beings technology movement. Even if you go back to the 18th century, 17th century, any technology jump that was in there, people feared. I mean, people feared cars when they came out, with the horses. They're used to the horses. So it's a very natural thing to do it. Ultimately, we as humans
Horses like cars.
But we have to be able to control this, and we have to be able
to
do it right.
I mean, I think that sometimes conservatives can misunderstand who's on their side because of the language that's being used around this stuff. So here's one language that's very important that people know. AI safety. Okay, what do the AI safety people actually want? They say that they're afraid of creating a paperclip maximizer. That's an AI that basically turns all of humanity into paperclips and just grows super quickly, right? We've done a lot of episodes on the technicalities
of this. We're having
a
Schwarzenegger here next week called the Terminator, so just keep that in mind.
This isn't likely. People can watch our inverse gravity aliens hypothesis for like a mathematical proof that this is incredibly unlikely. But let's talk about why they're afraid of this. What power do they get? How do you actually prevent? If we have lots of countries in the world, lots of private companies in the world that are independently developing AI, what's the only realistic way to keep all of these people from working on this AI development?
Make it a monopoly.
That's one. And then two is to create an AI lattice which exists around the world's Internet of Things and is constantly monitoring everyone. Essentially, and I've talked to them, I know this is the end goal of the AI safety movement. It's to create an AI that is meant to prevent the development of more sophisticated AIs and do some other things, likely, that is meant to ensure that humanity stays on the quote-unquote right course. Sorry, I'm doing big scare quotes here. That exists. If you have Alexas in your house, you have Googles in your house, you have a phone on you, everybody has something on them that's constantly listening. It would be able to use those to prevent the further development, because that is the only way you can prevent development of more sophisticated systems in the decentralized world which we exist in now. And it also
didn't work with nuclear weapons, did it? And isn't AI neural nuclear weaponry at the end of the day, especially if we plug in?
Well, they don't have – with the nuclear weapons, we didn't have the capability to constantly listen to everyone everywhere in the same way that an AI can.
That's worse.
Well, no, I'm saying it's horrifying, and that a lot of people, they're afraid of AI, and so they reactively side with the anti-AI side without knowing what the anti-AI side's long-term goals are. There is a reason why people like Elon are AI accelerationists, which basically means pro the development of more AI with some degree of caution, because the other group wants total control, and they're using AI to promote the ability to gain.
What was the TV show based on the good AI and the bad AI? And the bad AI ended up winning, I think.
I don't remember, but
Lost in Space?
No. It was more recent than
I
that.
Seen this.
Oh God, I can't even think of it now.
But it's not just that. There's other things that AI is going to do that's going to really change the makeup of humanity. Right now, we talk about, you know, how hard it is for people to find partners and stuff like that. How many people due to like porn and stuff like that aren't getting married?
We'll be talking about porn in a second.
Our kids.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Are going to be able to have AI, digital girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives that look perfect to them, that are always nice to them, and that fulfill all of their emotional affirmations. Like, if you look at existing AI technology, you can see how we're only like 20 years away from this being inexpensive and widespread as something people have access to. To motivate going out and finding a partner in an environment where technology like that is widely available is going to require really unique social technologies.
So in other words, what you're saying, you're going to have a real doll that's AI driven.
You might not have a real doll. I suspect it will be much cheaper just to have computer models that you might be able to interact with. I mean, we already have inexpensive VR systems like the Facebook one and stuff like that. The only thing you need to add to that is some sort of tactile response system.
You know, there was a teacher and Armand James ran for school board, and he's a teacher in South Philadelphia. And one of the things he does is when kids come into his class, he has a box, and he tells the kids, There was a great show, by the way. I'm rewatching it, which is really rewatching it now. But anyhow, so what he does when the kids come into his class, all the phones have to go in that box. He says, I have your attention for 50 minutes. And he says, it's very difficult for these kids to give that phone up. But he always gives them a few minutes at the end of the class to come in and get their phones and get caught up on stuff. We need more teachers like that. So I just wanted to make that point. There are some good teachers out there that recognize that. One of the other things I wanted to point out is I have found that kids today, because of the relationship with computers and with cell phones and everything else, have a very difficult time with relationships.
Oh, yeah.
So we're coming to close to the end of our first hour. We have about 2 minutes until our station ID, Malcolm, and you see we're booked up for the second. Yeah. You're going to be coming back, but why don't you leave us with, first of all, tell people how they can reach you again, where they can see your work, and your final parting thoughts for this appearance, because you're going to be coming back, right?
So, strongly suggest, you know, you can check out any of our books, The Pragmatist Guide series. All the money from the sales of them goes to our nonprofit. So it's and they're inexpensive. They're like 99 cents and stuff like that. We try to make them accessible. But the real place to engage with us is Basecamp. It's our daily podcast where my wife and I talk about, you know, sex, politics, and religion, anything that could get us in trouble. And in terms of closing thoughts, well, it may seem scary that sort of this global bureaucracy is forming where these unelected individuals who are actively against our interests are consolidating power around themselves. It is also hampered by the problem of all bureaucracies, which is that it is fundamentally incompetent and inefficient. And as such, so long as those of us who are fighting the system are willing to work together with people who are different than us, like the conservative movement now is everyone who's fighting the system working together. And so that means it's going to be a very diverse group. But if we can work together, we can win because we aren't encumbered by their bureaucracy. And we can make things like we're trying to do with the Collins Institute, like a school system that actually works. Like we're trying to do with our books, like science and academia that actually works. Like we can build better than they can because they are inefficient and incompetent.
Well, okay. Let me just, before you sign
off. Well, I just
want
to give the wrap up.
Yeah, I just want to mention one thing. What they're creating is the new Tower of Babel. They're creating this Tower of Babel that will ultimately collapse because that's what happens. Human beings create these things and then they self-destruct. I believe that there should be term limits for bureaucrats also because they are, you know, that's the the theory there that bottom-up theory? Not the bottom-up, but you trickle down to get up, something like that. And Kamala Harris is a perfect example of that.
Okay, don't forget to check out Simone at collinsforpa.com, F-O-R, collinsforpa.com. Simone Collins running for the 150th Legislative District in Pennsylvania for the Pennsylvania House, and we'll be right back after this station ID.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
You know, people call here and now that, Rush, you always told us. You told us when it's going to be time to panic. Well, is it time to panic? Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America. I'm not. I don't think most of you are either. And while we have that attitude of not giving up, we are constantly going to be searching, strategizing, coming up with ways to prevail. We've got the basics. We have millions and millions of Americans that are fed up, can't wait to do something about it. There will be a series of ideas that people come up with based on dealing with the fraud that we know we have to deal with. But America's worth it. America is worth fighting for. America's worth not giving up. And that's why I think whatever form it takes, we will continue to fight for and to defend and to triumph. I know the odds are, I mean, they're stiff and they're steep. The American left is made up of a lot of people that hate this country. Hate is a very, very destructive frame of mind. It's a very, very destructive characteristic. And eventually it results in implosion. You cannot survive on hatred. You cannot sustain a movement based on it. We just need to be patient while being vigilant and continuing to fight for what we believe in, knowing full well that we can prevail. And while we may not have the golden goose idea right now for how to do it, there are countless people thinking about it, strategizing. We're not alone. You're not alone. You're not a singular individual all by yourself out there trying to fight these people by yourself. There are 74 million plus and growing
Hi, I'm Planet Fitness spokesman Roger Moonblood. I'm a certified personal trainer, unregistered sex offender, and the general manager at your local Planet Fitness location, or as what we sometimes like to call, your local predatory fitness location. Today, I'm literally going to share with you how Planet Fitness can help you reach your fitness goals better than any other gym. And I'll also share some things about Planet Fitness with you that you didn't know, but will probably surprise you and unnerve you. We're the only gym chain in the country that understands the key to getting in great shape is having diversity, unpredictability, and a predatory ethos in your women's locker room. Just imagine when you're finished working out, taking off your sweaty clothes, you can enjoy one of our cleanly state-of-the-art showers while having a man watch you. You'll also be glad to know that we've recently removed all the doors from the toilet stalls to make it easier for a man to watch you while you're taking a dump, which is more inclusive. Like, no other gym does that for you.
Oh. Welcome back to the second hour of the day.
And you thought the first hour was good?
Oh, God. We're in store. But before we introduce...
I just want to tell people, please, if you're driving, please go off the side of the road. Pull off the side of the road right now so that you don't drive off into the oblivion. Go ahead.
All right. So before we start with our second hour guest, I want to get in the plug for the Trump Store of Pennsylvania, which is located at 2060 Street Road in Bensalem. Where you can get all of the Biden No More in 24 gear and, of course, all of the positive gear for supporting President Trump for his second term, which should have been right after the first term, but unfortunately wasn't. So the Trump Store of Pennsylvania at 2040 Street Road and also at TrumpStorePA.com, the place to go for Trump gear in 2024. So
I just want to say one thing. You know, I always believe in the glass is half full as opposed to half empty. And even though we're going through this terrible time, we're learning about what the new Democratic Party is, about the left, about wokeism, about control of the world. And I think we're in a better position to handle it because now we know it's important for people to go out and vote and make sure they make the difference. And I stay home
and vote often with the coupons they send in the mail now.
Yes, you can do that too. Yes. So go ahead. Yeah, we're going to talk. We now have the Northampton 4 here.
Oh, God, this is unbelievable.
This is unbelievable. So get ready.
So we have a regular listener named Steve. We call him Coach Steve. And he comments with us in our blog periodically the Signal blog. Yeah. And he brings to my attention something that I probably should have known of anyway, but I'm so embroiled with so many various Republican county committees and their falderal, and I'm using polite words right now, that I missed this one. And my God, this has to be one of the most salacious cases I've ever seen. This goes back to what, June of 2023, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And in June of 2023, the four people that we have, and I'll introduce them by name in a few minutes, who were members of the executive committee of the Northampton.
Are you still members of the executive committee?
Yes.
They're just not allowed in, Stan.
Oh, he's not allowed.
We've been banned since last
year. Yeah, we have been banned. Yep.
And by the way, this is nothing new. There are Republican county committees throughout the state that have been banning people who, I guess, don't listen to the dictators that we call local county chair people. And unfortunately, the state GOP, the PA GOP, doesn't seem to want to step in as much as it should, when it should, to take over and make sure that these things stop happening.
And that's run by Lawrence, don't call me Larry, Tavis, right?
I don't know who that is. I can't speak to that. Maybe it's because I actually am involved in a lawsuit where he's a defendant and I'm one of the attorneys because of a similar problem that we're having in Bucks County. And I thought that was bad enough. Bucks County only has illegal bylaws that have been not in effect, but being sort of used for the last 50-plus years.
Sort of used.
Yeah, right. So the committee chairman, Glenn Geisinger, for the Northampton County Republicans, literally threw our guests out, and our guests are Deborah Biro, Melanie Heilman, and I'm reading your names from the police report because I think this is appropriate. Stephen Lynch, and that's Coach Steve. He's the fellow that that is part of our blog. And Rich Maria. So these four are in the studio with us today. And I can't begin to tell you how outrageous this is. And the salacious part, that was no joke. I didn't understand until yesterday when we pre-interviewed these people because we wanted to kind of get Stan and I wanted to get a kind of a better feel of what was going to happen in studio today, exactly what this was about. Now, I was told there's pornography involved. I was told that members of the executive committee.
Well, it is an interesting way of promoting the Republican Party, I'll tell you that, in Northampton.
Well, I knew things were hard in the Republican Party, but I didn't realize what that meant until yesterday.
Oh, my God. This show is slowly ditching.
It's not our fault, Stan. We can only deal with the news that they present us.
Don't shoot the messenger. We have nothing to do with this.
I know that.
Now, the Bethlehem Township Police Department actually did a very full investigation of the initial charges because...
Very in-depth report.
Yeah, Mr. Geisinger wanted to have the authorities criminally charge these four people. But the police department declined, and we spoke yesterday. It actually does said closed, no further action under the disposition heading.
Right.
That's pretty good because very rarely do they absolutely close something out like that. And the prior DA, Stephen Barrett is current. What was the prior DA's
Terry
name?
Terry Houck.
Declined to press charges. And then, lo and behold, Mr. Barrett comes into office, and Mr. Geisinger decides that he wants to press private criminal charges, but they have to be approved by the authorities before they can proceed. And Mr. Barrett allowed that to happen. So now these four people are facing a variety of misdemeanor charges. And like President Trump, I think they're trumped up to the maximum degree. And it all started because they discovered a Pornhub, public Pornhub page that anybody can
Point
go.
Point being, it's public.
Correct.
Right.
That's the
that anybody can go and observe where one of the members, well, actually two of the members of the executive board, a husband and wife team who produced their own porn. I saw some still photos yesterday, and I have to say that this takes anatomy demonstrations to a whole new level. unbelievable. And apparently there's a video. I did not see that, and I choose not to see that.
Smart.
And here I have to say this because I want to distinguish between a First Amendment patriot and the kind of people that we're dealing with, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. A First Amendment patriot will say to these kind of disgusting people and their revolting behavior that it's not illegal, may be amoral, might be unethical. It may not be in accordance with natural law, and some of the things that we saw in the photos certainly weren't. But they have a right to do it under the First Amendment. What they don't have a right to do is then bludgeon people for exercising their right to bring out this otherwise publicly conducted behavior and use it and say, you don't belong on my executive committee. You are not of the right moral turpitude. You should not be leading the Republican committee in Northampton County. All right.
But it could be put, it never had an opportunity to be put up to vote for anybody else in the committee. Because, I mean.
Well, they tried.
They tried. That was
and they got arrested.
They tried, and the next thing you know, they're getting arrested for supposedly.
Or charged with crimes. You weren't formally arrested.
Yeah, the first one was the criminal complaint charges that dealt with sexual extortion. And harassment. So basically what ended up happening, I know we talked to you about this last night, is the four of us, including three other state committee members, the chairman of the NCRC, the vice chairman of the NCRC, and the treasurer of the NCRC.
Which means in Northampton.
The Northampton County Republican Committee. Correct. Thanks, Dan. All of us received an email about a couple hours before an executive committee that night.
Anonymous
email from, we would assume it from a Republican because the way the email was written, you can see that this individual wanted it to be kept private. They did not want this to be some kind of public spectacle. They were basically asking their leadership to do something about this. We did some investigation. When we had gotten the emails, we saw that the site was legitimate. It was an active site up on Pornhub, which, as you said, is a totally public channel. Anybody can go view it. We knew there was an issue. And these people were appointed executive committee members by Glenn Geisinger, the chairman, and in fact, one of them, Matt, the gentleman who's involved in this, he definitely was a committee person on top of it. The woman involved, she was not even a committee person. She was appointed as our social media manager, okay? So here we had this individual who was basically in charge of putting our content out there as a Republican Party who's involved in, there was 22 videos uploaded at the time on Pornhub. Deb Bureau, wow. Deb Bureau in that meeting had gone in, asked the question. She didn't even make an accusation. She had said we had all the whole leadership right. received an email today. This is directed to these two individuals. And she asked, are you engaged in online pornographic activity? They lied and said no. It was a total lie that she's now, even a year later, finally come out and admitted in the public in a local blog.
They admitted in the police report.
And they also admitted in the police. They got caught in lies in the police report.
She originally had lied to the police.
Yeah.
Originally.
Correct. Yeah, it was told that her computer was hacked. Private videos were taken. She actually, through some people we know personally, and we have text messages to prove it, said that I hacked her computer.
Wait. It's a public site.
No, this is the lie that they first told.
He put it up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, so you were at their house?
I'm also a computer hacker now. I hack computers.
Come on, Steve, get with the program.
Film producer and everything else.
Many talents.
Yeah, yes. I try my
was
best.
Was your name on Playboy Channel?
I'm one of the directors.
Playboy Channel is tame compared to this stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly true. And, so she had claimed that I stole her, I logged into her computer, stole her videos, created a Pornhub channel for her, hooked her PayPal or Venmo account up to it, and uploaded them myself.
Did you also give her pink hair?
I did not do that.
Hairdressing is not,
that is
your
not my specialty.
Okay, that's not your specialty. Okay.
So that was a lie, and as you saw in the police report, she admitted that it was her public channel, her husband was aware of the videos, and it was all closed, basically, at that point. You just saw in that previous police report. You fast forward now, so on September...
When you say closed, the police closed...
And the district attorney's office closed
on
September 20th.
They closed the...
Right. September 20th.
Right. If I believe it, at the bottom of the police report, it says that the DA, or the ADA, I should say, recommends no charges at this time, and then it says closed.
Correct.
Right at the bottom.
Correct. It's right there.
It's on the first page, and it may be at the very end it says the same thing.
Yep.
Well, we're going to defer to Andy. He's our in-house attorney here.
I'm just blown away by this. Yes, it says, later passed this information on to ADA Wilson, who advised district attorney's office would not recommend charges at this time and advised the same to the victims.
Yep. So the whole thing was dropped. We thought nothing of it after that whole meeting.
Well, since last summer, we have been banned from attending any Republican executive committee meetings.
But they've
been
banned under threat.
I spoke to Geisinger last night after we had our meeting. If you make your own pornography, they will let you back in.
I didn't know that was a prerequisite to become a part. I
read the bylaws. It's not there, right. But it does require.
So is it an amendment they're adding to it?
No, it requires equal treatment. So if you make your own pornography, it'll let you in.
But I looked at the bylaws and I can't see anywhere that the chairman is allowed to do that.
He's not. There's a process for him to be doing the types of things, and he hasn't followed it. The other thing that ran together with this is state committee. Okay, we had alerted state committee way back in the beginning of the summer of last year of 2023 of the type of issues that we were dealing with within the party, and specifically with Chairman Geisinger. We were advised by state committee to file a formal complaint, which we did. We gathered evidence. We presented it to him. We finally...
You meet with the PAGOP.
With the PAGOP.
Mm-hmm. What happened with that?
Well, we finally had a hearing on September 20th, and I would also tell people, keep in mind, this was back in the beginning of the summer that we started bringing this to their attention. This also shows you how slowly things move when you need to actually take action. So September 20th, we had the hearing. In that hearing, we did not get a verdict to that hearing till February 16th of this year. So almost 5 months basically passed, and we finally got a verdict for that hearing. And in that verdict, the chairman of the NCRC, Geisinger, was basically told by state committee, you're going to have a chaperone at these meetings. You're going to have a chaperone at the reorganization meeting because they could see that there was things going on. Nothing was brought back on us that we did anything wrong from that verdict, okay? That was February 16th.
And also reinstate us.
Yeah, and also reinstate us, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. That never happened. On February 28th, so it was 12 days later, that's when these charges were filed with the local office. So again, 12 days later, after he gets a verdict against him and all of a sudden we have 8 misdemeanor charges apiece. I think people can do the math to see what's going on here.
Absolutely. So now this the Northampton Republican Committee also has an unusual legal arrangement with its solicitor, correct?
Well, you're talking about the previous one that was working
who wasn't
as
a lawyer.
Who was not a licensed attorney in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
He was a lawyer, but not licensed to practice in Pennsylvania.
So he was acting solicitor for months in Northampton County.
Yep.
So Northampton County seems to have all kinds of problems in terms of its administration. What have you done other than coming on this radio show? And I know there's been some publicity. You sent us some newspaper articles. They cover it to some extent. What have you done to get this information out to your voting public so that when they start electing committee people in April this year, this month, right, on the 23rd, we can maybe replace these losers who are ruining Northampton County's Republican committee?
Well, I mean, we've definitely had some conversations with individuals that we do know that are involved with the local politics in Northampton County. What ended up happening after this first, we saw these charges, Geisinger went on a media tear locally. So the only information that was getting out there, was from Glenn. The local media took, I think Melanie and I, we had a statement that we sent to the media, but the local media in the Lehigh Valley through the stations on the television and local papers do not favor people like us at all. So this is a story that they would love to print. So what we're doing now is getting out there and sharing the truth to what is going on with the actual facts, with the police reports, so people can see that, first of all, none of this ever took place. There has been lie upon lie upon lie that has been seen and proven out in that previous police report. And here's an interesting fact as well. That previous charge that we had brought up from the June 8th meeting of this past year that we dealt with on September 20th had nothing to do with fighting, nothing physical going on. I want to draw people's attention to the fact that police were not called that night. There were no hospital incidents that night.
Part of the let me just interrupt you for a minute. Part of the complaint was that abusive language and there was physical contact and all that stuff.
All a lie.
So as I understand it from our discussion last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were at the meeting. The meeting went through. Then after the meeting, you approached the chairman and
Rich
took out of his pocket, folded up the website information, mm-hmm, and gave it to the chairman. Is that correct? What happened?
Yeah, well, we brought one copy just in case they claimed that they didn't receive it, and that's exactly what happened. So they had claimed, Geisinger claimed, that he did not receive the email when we had the addresses there. We knew that he did, but we wanted to have one copy just to hand to him just in case so we could present it as evidence, which is what we did.
So you approach Geisinger at the end of the meeting. During the meeting, there was no altercations or anything else. Just, Deborah, you just asked a question.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And they shut you down on that.
Correct.
And then after the meeting, you approached them to say, hold on a minute, you said you didn't get it. Here, I'm going to hand this to you.
Mm-hmm.
All
correct.
Right. So then what happened that created?
So then, he didn't even open it. He didn't even look at it. And ultimately, he gave it to the person who was in the videos.
So he's the one we should announce who they are, Stan. It's Matt Flower and his wife Margie Mandel are the stars of these videos, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay,
correct.
There's no reason not to say their names. I mean, they're apparently correct. Proud of their prowess, and
they're in the police report.
They're in the police report.
They're in the police report.
So one of the claims is you started spreading this all around. So you had one picture which you handed to Geisinger, and then he started handing it off.
He gave it to one copy,
and he gave it to them.
So there was no spreading of anything else other than that.
No.
So was there an argument at that particular point?
It was more of a plea. We were asking him specifically, if you're not going to address it with them, at least review the material so you can make a decision later on what to do with these two individuals.
Melanie's talking right now.
So. Right, and he flat out refused because they had initially denied it, and he said case closed. That's it. He didn't want to believe it. He didn't want to look at it. He didn't want to address the issue. All he cared about was making us look bad or get out of the room.
But knowing you, you guys have been working within the Republican Party, going, you stand on the polls, I assume. You do all the mailings. You're one of the workers.
Door knocking. We are the face of it.
You're the one that the candidates come to, and can you help me?
Yes.
Because
we got elected countywide. You know, we got elected countywide. We work in the county
by
our peers.
By your fellow Republicans.
Yes. Right.
Right.
And I just wanted to go back, talking about the meeting. After the meeting
was over. This is Deborah talking right now.
After the meeting was over, Matt actually came up to me and asked me, he said, Deb, you know, I'd really like to do some investigation and find out who sent that anonymous email out. He said, can you forward me the email so I could do the investigation myself? Now, if there was so much chaos and confusion going on, he wouldn't approach me calmly and ask me that.
And I said, and why is he investigating how you found out about this conduct?
Just go to the
as opposed to the conduct itself.
Well,
just go to the Pornhub and you can figure it out. Well, that's what I think.
He was telling everybody that it wasn't him. They had nothing to do with it. They were totally shocked. Like, how did this get there? You know, there's no way. We got to investigate who put it up there.
Yeah. Which she ultimately admitted to doing herself.
So deny. Yep. And Geisinger, instead of investigating the facts of what the conduct was, wants to find out who is it that brought it to your attention, because somehow that's more important.
Correct.
And by the way, you say he didn't take any action. I disagree with you. He did take action. He threw you off the committee.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, he can't throw her off the committee. What he's doing is trying to shut it down. But look, a good CEO would say, hold on, let's take a look at this.
Right.
We don't want to get this blown out of proportion. Then approach the people, and then, you know, then you could say, listen, I feel uncomfortable with you being up here at this particular point, because this could be, you know, the left will take it and just run with
it. Right. Well, that was one of our first concerns. Right. Was on behalf of candidates.
Correct.
Look what they did with Stormy Daniels, for God's sake. I mean, that's a never-ending story.
Yeah. Yep. We knew immediately this was a public website, and we knew immediately that we need to grasp this and get a handle of this right away. Try to keep it in-house as best as we can.
Correct.
Instead, he decided to do the exact opposite.
Right. Yeah, okay.
He actually went to the media with the first police report so that he could get our names out there that we were charged with a criminal complaint.
Correct.
Or not charged, but there was a criminal complaint being investigated
against
us. Correct. And he went directly to the media. And that was the last thing that we wanted to do, was to bring something like this to the attention of the public, especially candidates in such a tumultuous county. Because we've been purple this entire time. And I think that kind of pushed us over the edge and made us blue.
So on top of everything else, your party chairman really hasn't helped you win anything.
Oh, he can't win at all. And
by the way, I find that very common in Montgomery County and Bucks County.
When I went up to the room at the end, because Glenn and I don't get along, it's well known, okay, I specifically went up to him, like, face-to-face about this far. I said, Glenn, we have got to put our differences aside here. If this gets out to the media, this is going to be a complete nightmare, okay? You know, these two individuals are heavily involved. They were heavily involved with one of our judge candidates. They were all over this judge, who lost, by the way. And I was pleading with him. I said, this can't get to the media. 2 days later, as Melanie just mentioned, him and Matt are on the media. They went to WFMZ and spread this false story about sexual extortion and harassment. And that's ultimately how we found out that we had complaints filed against
us. So, Stephen, this is Stephen Lynch that's speaking right now. How long have you been on the committee?
So since 2022.
So this is like your first term?
Correct.
Okay.
It's a four-year term.
Okay.
No. Are you talking about
the
committee? Well, he said the committee.
State committee's
4 years. Are you talking about state committee or the committee in Northampton County?
I'm talking about Northampton County. How long have you been an active?
This is our second, ending our second year. It's our first year as a committee people.
Okay. And on state committee?
It's our first term, which is obviously 4 years, and that runs out in 2025, right?
And Rich, how about you?
Same.
Melanie?
Same.
2018 for me.
So you've been at it a little bit longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long has Geisinger been?
He's been involved for years, I would say 20.
And what about our stars of stage and screen, Mandel and Flower?
Relatively new, within the last.
Matt Flower was a Democrat up until 2019.
That's correct.
Yep.
He was a Democrat?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Registered.
Up until 2019. He was a registered Democrat.
3 years into the Trump presidency.
I believe Mandel was either independent or she touted herself as libertarian. The entire time until recently when she ran for – both of them ran for state committee as Republicans.
I think that's quite, you know
– telling.
Telling from the website that she's kind of independent. Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that, but I think he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but, you know, if the issue aside, we are struggling in Pennsylvania to win Pennsylvania. And we're looking for good people who are willing to work and do the things that need to be done. How many times have I seen it that the people in power that have been there for years keep on voting the same way, yep, expecting a different result? Mm-hmm. The same people. I remember, Andy, when I was going after being the chairman of the Montgomery County Republican Party, and we went there. We were at a meeting. They only gave us about 4 or 5 minutes. First off, we were prevented.
We had a fight to get in.
We were prevented from going in because they had armed guards there. They didn't want us in. We were allowed to come in as long as we didn't circulate in the crowd. We almost won it except for the proxy votes. But here's the thing that gave me. I looked out in the audience, and I'm seeing the
those
same
proxy votes. It's the mail-in equivalent.
I'm seeing the same people that have been around literally for 40 years who never go to a meeting, have never knocked on a door, have never even wrote anything at all in the last 20 years. And, of course, they're voting. Stan, you've always been a rebel, because I always have been a rebel. And they just go against us, even though I'm saying, wait a minute, we got to do something different here. Mm-hmm. So what you're facing, for me, is the most frustrating thing. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. I don't know what it is with these people. Mm-hmm. They're so opposed to new people coming in. A great CEO in a company, if you run it like a company, you want the best people up there, and you're going to acknowledge them because you want them to continue to feed you, to make you successful, so that you're all successful. Yeah. Your success is going to be the CEO's success. And yet we don't have it. And that's because, for the most part, it's really led by very narcissistic people. Mm-hmm. Who just will not give any credit to anybody who does well. Mm-hmm. That's why I give Andy all the credit in the world for doing the whole show.
So I want to add to that point. You know, ever since that first criminal complaint, we kind of stepped back from this because we were focused on the election. We wanted to get our Republican candidates elected, especially in a judicial race. And so we stepped back. We were banned, but at the same time, we weren't trying to get into the meetings. We weren't trying to attend their events. We weren't trying to antagonize the situation. We were trying to work on our own grassroots movement to get the voters of the county excited, or at least to get out to vote to get these candidates elected. And so I think their entire focus was on us, so that we could, you know, get out of there, and they weren't focused on the election like we were.
Okay, we're going to be right back with the Don't Back Down show with Stan Casaccio, Andy Tuttleman, and our four guests in the second hour.
The Northampton Four.
Deborah Biro, Melanie Heilman, who you just heard, Stephen Lynch, and Richard Maria right after these commercial breaks. We'll be right back.
Is the real estate market going to crash in Philly and the suburbs? Diane Cardano-Casaccio here from the Cardano team. Don't believe the mainstream media hype. Here's the facts. Mortgage rates are coming down, and they're expecting rate cuts in time for the spring market. And inventory is on the rise as new listings surged by 9%, and total inventory increased by 5% last month. Seize the opportunity to start the home selling process. Get me in your home now. I'm your expert, your advocate, with local market insights. My eye-catching marketing brings buyers flooding in, driving up prices. Plus, I provide complete staging guidance with our contractors, ready to make your home shine without you lifting a finger. Don't wait for the wave. Ride it with me. Call me Diane Cardano now, your no-nonsense realtor, and get a free copy of my 2024 Real Estate Handbook by calling 215-576-8666 or go online at 215-576-8666.com.
No, you can't come into Texas and start shooting people. We'll shoot you back. That's our policy. We will just, everybody in Texas, that's why they're rarely a club shooting or a bank robbery with guns, because everybody has guns here, you know.
How involved was the White House in prosecuting President Trump over in the state of Georgia? Now, of course, up until today, the official line from both the White House as well as from the Georgia state prosecutors has been that there was no coordination between the two. The White House, they claim that this is a state-level case that they have absolutely nothing to do with. However, over time, evidence has begun to creep up showing otherwise. For instance, some recent court documents, you can see them up on your screen, they show that Mr. Nathan Wade, the lead prosecutor in this Trump case, he met with White House staff, including the White House counsel, on multiple different occasions. In practical terms, this means that Fannie Willis's lead prosecutor in this Trump RICO case, who also happened to be her romantic partner, was charging the taxpayers a cool $2,000 per meeting in order to talk to Joe Biden's White House lawyers about prosecuting Joe Biden's political opponent.
So well, welcome back to the Dump Back Down
show.
I
have to mention that was Ron White, who lives in Texas. He's a comedian who basically was saying, nobody comes to Texas because we shoot back. We have guns and we shoot back. And he said, so you want to come to Texas and shoot? We shoot you back.
It's not working so good with the southern border right now and with the federal government fighting against them for bringing their own National Guard down
it's
there.
It's kind of like what you're facing in your own in Northampton and what we face in Montgomery County and what we face in Bucks County. We're like fighting our own people who are supposed to be on our side because they should want to do better.
And the Democrats just sit there laughing at us.
They do. Yeah. They laugh at us.
Northampton County is Republican.
Or in your county, I think they're doing other things because you're providing them with some other forms of entertainment. But So welcome back to the Don't Back Down show with Stan Casaccio, Andy Tuttleman, and the Northampton Four, Deborah Biro, Melanie Heilman, Stephen Lynch, and Richard Morea. So why don't you kind of walk us through what that meeting was like, kind of, you know, from start to finish. So I read the police report. I heard what you had to say when we did the pre-interview, and the stories don't seem to match, but I'd like our audience to hear, for lack of a better term, both sides of the story. Deborah, you want to start?
Sure.
But let me just ask you this.
Sure.
The meeting was called to go over the election and candidates.
It's the executive committee meeting.
It's a typical monthly meeting.
The monthly executive committee
And this is not a public meeting.
It is not a public meeting.
Is the public welcome in?
No, they're not.
You have to be Republican.
Candidates.
You don't even have to be Republican. They were kicking out committee people at these meetings. You had to be on the executive committee meeting. We have pictures of people taken when we're sitting outside in lawn chairs because they wouldn't let Republican committee people in there. And one of those meetings was like shortly before the primary of the 1 year where we're trying to get people elected.
But they left former Democrat porn stars in.
Well, not only that, they also have Democrat constables that come there and keep – and one guy was actually having charges pressed against him at the time for a 12 and a 16-year-old that he was time allegedly harassing. Mm-hmm. That's who they put at the door to keep four state committee people out that are actual Republicans.
Was there an agenda written up for this meeting? Was there any written agenda?
The normal thing.
It's your normal kind of meeting.
But that's not the only Democrat. We've had other Democrats that he's invited into the executive Republican committee meeting also, and we could talk about that if you want.
Yeah. But Deb and I was going to go into the meeting itself.
Go ahead.
Okay. Normally the meeting starts. You have your prayer. We do the pledge. And
pledge the hustler?
So I was nervous about the whole thing, and I just wanted to get it over with. So I asked Glenn. I said, "Hey, I have a question that I'd like to address to Margie and Matt, if I could do that right now." And Glenn said, "You'll have to wait till later on in the meeting when we have the new business." And I said, "Sure." So when it came to the new business,
or dirty business,
both.
So Glenn recognized me, and he said, "Okay, Deb, you want to the floor?" And I stood up, and I said, I don't remember exactly what I said, but something to the effect that, you know, that I saw, I got an email that they were involved in pornography, and I asked them if this was a true or false, you know, situation, and they both denied it. Once they had it, Glenn was kind of like, well, okay, Deb asked the question, and we're just going to move on from here. And that's when people were like, whoa, wait a second. Also, while I was asking the question, people started yelling at me like, sue her. And this is slander. You know, you can't. And I said, this is not slander. I'm asking them to their
How many people were in the room?
Probably about, I would say, close to 30.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Maybe a little bit more. Maybe 30 to 40. 30
and
to
40. They were all members of the executive committees, no proxies or anything.
Were there any
proxies? There were a couple proxies, but they were still for the executive committee people.
And I think there were some school board members there, too.
Correct. Yeah, they'll have some candidates in there as well.
So I believe there was a judicial candidate, too, still in the room.
I think she was gone by that time. Yes, I think she was gone.
Her manager was there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, correct.
So she waited a few.
Okay, so after that, then, you know, that's when things started. And then Glenn started banging his gavel and stuff like that. And all of a sudden it was like, meeting adjourned. And that's when, you know,
that's
came.
What happens
that's,
in our meetings.
That's when you approached Glenn and Rich, you gave him the folded envelope and said, hey, look, you know, this is it. And then he started spreading it around. And then from there was no physical contact, no No, was there any verbal arguments at all? Nothing like that?
I mean, there was heated conversation, I would say, for sure.
Well, that's a political meeting.
But that's they are taking heated conversation and making it a crime.
But there was no physical altercation. There was no threat of violence. There was no harassment. Nobody called the police. Nobody needed an ambulance. Nobody went to the hospital.
So the police wound up dismissing it in
11 days from that meeting.
So I just want to be clear. I'm going to read from the police report here. It says on June 8th at the Northampton County Republican Committee headquarters, Margie Mandel and I, as well as other presidents, were the victim of criminal activity. Number of individuals brought printed lewd images of my wife and I to the meeting and aggressively shoved these images into the faces of meeting participants against their wishes.
Now, total lie.
No, I saw the photos. There were things being shoved in faces, but I don't think it was. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was at the meeting. No.
It was not. And it's aggravating to even hear you read that again. A total lie. None of that happened. None of it. That's what makes this thing so frustrating. The only
copy was one.
And you know what? In the police report, their so-called witnesses stated that they did not see any of the images. Well, that's because nothing was circulated. That's why they didn't see anything.
So after a little bit of a heated discussion, because we're going to go to our real estate report in a minute, after this heated discussion, which is politics, and you're in a political room, so you have to be heard sometimes, the meeting ended.
Correct.
And that was it. So from the time you handed the picture in to have the discussion, how long was that? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't
just
long.
A few minutes.
Yeah. Just a few minutes. And then he said, that's it. We're out of here. And then you left. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you got this thing thrown at you.
So committee business was ended. There was no actual committee business.
The meeting was over. The other lie that they told was that people were leaving because they were so offended. That's a lie. Right. People started leaving when they adjourned the meeting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then they started walking out. Like I said, I'm only going to speak for myself. I went up to Glenn personally, had a one-on-one conversation with him. I shared this earlier. Dude, we got to put the differences aside. This is a problem. Rich was having whatever discussion he was having. Mel, just having discussions with people, basically pleading with them, look at the evidence. You have the email. Just look. And all we said was look at the emails. If we had all these images,
the idea was,
we would be shown.
The idea was, look, this is bad for our candidates if this comes out, which I think is very logical.
Correct.
I want to go to Diane Cardano for the weekly real estate report because all hell seems to be breaking out every week. Are you there, Diane?
Yes.
Okay, what is happening this week that everybody has to know about?
What is happening? Spring has sprung. Not only...
I don't know. I'm looking outside. It doesn't look like it's too springy out there right now, but go ahead.
Well, my house, I have the cherry blossom trees, or the blossoming or cherry trees blossoming. So it really looks nice, but it is a little dreary out. But that's not the point. The point is, no matter how dreary it is, I'm telling you, the market is so bare. And you can say, how bare is it? How bare is it? So bare, there's only one house for sale between 500 and 900,000 in White Marsh Township. And it's my listing. And I have over 65 showings set up in only 3 days. So that's what's happening in the market. So there's
So you're going to do what the producers do. You're going to sell it several times.
I would love to do that. I would love to sell it myself. But, you know, that's another thing. But the commissions are intact. So come bring your buyers. The 109 Hunter Road in White Marsh. Because your commission is safe right now. Because the whole thing about the commissions, right? So, but no, the market is just bare right now. I'm hoping for more. I really don't like this market like this. It's not the buyers are still out. There's five buyers for every home, and it's
which is good for sellers because even though the old supply and demand type of thing.
It's inflating the market though. Yep. It's a fake thing, and you know something's got to give somewhere. And the biggest, and I've said this five times, I have now devoted my whole time to helping future home sellers who are seniors in moving. Because they're the ones who need to move to get this thing going. We need to give money to the seniors, tax breaks, whatever it is, so they can move on and give free up the homes to these young people who want to buy them. And that's going to be my mission. I'm on a mission.
All right. The interest rates, what's happening with the interest rates? They've been pretty steady.
Interest rates are pretty steady, but there's a great program right now that you can get with called Key Flex, and you can have a home. You don't have to start your first-time buyer program. and they're giving out 5%, 5%, up to 5% of the price up to $595,000. So in other words, you're buying a house for $500,000, you can get $25,000 towards your closing costs or whatever. So you can buy a house.
Who pays for that? Who pays that?
Joe Biden.
Buyer.
Oh.
This is a loan that's forgivable in 10 years. So actually, your interest rate's a little higher, basically.
So the bank. So what happened? The bank will give you the basic loan, and then they'll add another $25,000 onto it, which would be a little different.
The interest rate about six and a half to 7.125. You'll pay more interest rate, but it's forgivable in 10 years.
No, it's
if you stay there. If you leave, you have to pay it back.
If you leave, so for 10 years, if you stay there for 10 years, it gets forgiven. Yep. Ultimately, the taxpayers of America pay for whatever happens there. So there's nothing for free.
Anything that's free, right?
Yep. Nothing's for free.
But I'm doing a lot of estate homes right now. Like 85% of the homes on the market are people who are either downsizing. You know, they're going into assisted living, or they stay. I mean, so many people stay in their houses till they can't live there anymore, and so much more than ever before. An estate. So many people are dying in their homes. And they just don't want to leave, and because there's nowhere to go. And I have people calling me, clients whose parents are now, you know, ill or going into homes or dying, and they're, you know, so that's what I'm selling.
So your recommendation, though, because I know you do a lot of advanced type of stuff. So your recommendation is if those things are on the horizon for you, if you're a senior citizen thinking, okay, we're going to downsize in a year. You know, now's the time to get together with you so you can plan it out. I know you've been doing movings, helping people move and things like coordinating things for people who are really in difficult situations because you have this whole team of people that work for you. What's your website? Right. What's your phone number that people get a hold of you?
Phone number, 215-576-8666. 215-576-8666.com. And so either way.
Either way. And then you can go to Diane on, what's it, Diane on?
Call Diane now.
Call Diane now.com.
Just refer to my calendar. You can get on my calendar, which is hard to do, so better do it quickly.
So if they go to call Diane now, they can set up an appointment. It goes right on your calendar, and they get an automatic appointment with you. Okay.
Yep. YouTube channel. I'm all over the place. Just Google my name. I can't market myself. How can I market your home? Right?
Right. And I know you sell houses in Jersey, too. You're licensed in Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a nice listing in Jersey. Just sold for $50,000 over listed price last weekend.
So how many offers did you have on that one?
20.
20 offers on that one. And that's for New Jersey. That's unbelievable in itself. Diane,
who the hell wants to move there?
Diane.
I don't know. I don't know why they want to move there, but they did.
That's good. Diane, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
Diane.
Bye-bye. Oh, Stan, we forgot to bring up that assisted suicide for seniors thing where people, if they can't find assisted living but they still want to move, Diane was starting that program. Whatever happened with that?
No. I'm glad you didn't bring that one up.
No, she would have shot me, so that's why I waited until she
definitely
was off.
Would have done that. That would have been our sponsor would have been gone from that point. So we're back with the Northampton Four.
Yes, absolutely. So and Deborah was giving us the rundown of what happened at the meeting, and it sounds like it's totally different than what's written in the police report. So how did we get from, as contentious as it may be and maybe embarrassing for Matt Flower and Margie Mandel, to have been disclosed in the way they were? I don't know how they could think it was going to stay private. I mean, you know, Pornhub,
I don't think anything stayed private.
No. Nothing stayed private.
The images were still private at the meeting because they didn't even open. No, so they didn't even see. Geisinger didn't even look at the email. So he didn't even look at it at all, and he handed it off to Flower. So nobody saw anything at that meeting.
Yeah,
and I've read through the police report, and that seems to back up everything that you're saying, at least from the people that were interviewed, and there was a lot of people interviewed.
Correct.
Not 30 or 40, but a handful of people anyway, and I'm not going to mention any of those names. It is a publicly available police report for anyone in the media who might want to look into this a little bit more deeply, and we certainly hope to help you.
We wish the media would have looked into it a little deeply, but they did not.
The mainstream media, but we're going to help you with some of the alt media locations. We're going to bring this to some of our friends who were at some of the bigger radio shows and hopefully the word will get out there because
well, we'd appreciate that, Andy. Yeah, we're absolutely. Really kind of at the beginning of this this journey. I mean,
it's almost a year old though.
So let me
correct.
The criminal charges are new though.
Correct. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Of course, this is a symptom of something that was poorly run. Obviously, your Northampton Republican Party. Of the 30 people, and I don't know, how many committee people do you have in the
over? Well, you have available 308. That's a whole other topic, and too.
We have the same problem. They don't fill the seats.
Well, we have half. They literally had this this go-around has half basically
Well, the
ready
only reason
go.
Why there's 150. Half is they are not the absentee ballots. They are the proxy ballots that are used to solidify things.
Correct.
So
well, that's what happened
of the
too.
Active people in the committee, talking about the actual executive committee as well as the committee people, how many people effectively are approving of the job that's being done by the chairman? Is that ever – have you ever had a
discussion? Well, you just had this – so let's go back to this past week. We talked to you a little bit about this money that now the NCRC wants to authorize for Glenn. I think if I'm not mistaken –
Oh, yeah, hold on. Yeah. This is an important part of this whole damn thing.
Yeah, and this can also tie into your question, which is how many kind of people are on board with this, right? So this past week, and we know this through five witnesses, okay? This is not hearsay. This is five eyewitness accounts of what happened that night. Now Glenn, because of how this case is being brought, needs to get an attorney for this.
Well, he did get an attorney.
Well, he's getting the attorney who wants now the NCRC to pay for it, and they authorized 7,500 hours.
This is the NCRC?
This is the NCRC through the executive committee meeting at the when they had a vote on this.
But you weren't allowed.
We weren't allowed
to go in there.
Correct.
So that's an illegal vote because there's there's nothing in the bylaws that prevents you from coming in. He can't unilaterally throw you out.
Well, it'd be great, but they don't follow any rules. This is what we talked to Tabus about for the past 2 years. They don't follow any rules.
And this situation is occurring continuously in a lot of committees.
Correct.
And Lawrence, don't call me Larry, Tabus has really not taken a very strong position on this. This is where leadership and being a CEO.
That's right.
You got to if you're going to do it, you got to be that.
We've
person.
Been imploring to the PA GOP leadership for months.
That's why. Yeah, that's why months. I'm pushing Josh Prince to be chairman of the.
Oh, we're all for that for sure.
So if you guys make sure you nominate him.
Yeah. There's over 200 committee members that got elected last cycle. Over 200, maybe 230, 240.
Yeah, I think it's like 230,
So the vote last week at the executive committee meeting, from what we understood from witnesses, was that 17 people had voted in favor of authorizing the $7,500 to go towards Geisinger's personal.
17 people out of how
17
many?
17 people out of 200 plus.
It's no longer personal. Well, now the committee's taking ownership of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me back up. That was only the executive committee.
Executive committee,
the 200 people don't have a vote. It's only executive committee people that
So 17
vote.
Out of 30.
Probably yeah, I think there's 30. Roughly about 35, something like that, correct. Yeah.
Oh, so that was better than 50%.
Right, but what you have to understand is these executive committee people are not voted on by the county. Almost all of them are appointed by Geisinger.
Right.
Hand-picked. He stacked the deck.
Yeah,
But there was no one there to argue the case why it shouldn't be.
Oh no, there was we had five people that flat out said that they are not. That's why I said we have five eyewitnesses. Even though we weren't there, we have people that are willing to testify that this happened.
But if you were there and could vote against it, you would have won. That would never not have happened. So,
well, they had shut down debate from what we understand.
Well,
also.
That's not unusual to happen in what's happening in a lot of these places.
Have you brought these criminal charges to the state committee's attention?
Oh yes,
yes.
Oh my. Nothing. So I'll already answer your question you're going to ask. What have they done?
How about nothing. Enforcing their prior order?
They've done – the only thing that they did – they kept getting – so as they're saying, you're going to have a chaperone. Glenn comes back to them in writing from his attorney saying, you don't have authority over me. In fact, I'm almost –
That's not true.
That's what he says. That's what he told Lawrence Tabus to his face in writing that – you do not have authority. This is a leadership issue that's not – has nothing to do with me. This is your leadership issue. This is – Geisinger to Tabus. So that all took place, okay? And they will completely thumb up
all
to everybody.
Of the, Andy, tell me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, because we've had the fights from Montgomery County and Bucks County, there's a symbiotic relationship between the Pennsylvania bylaws and all of these bylaws of all these
subcommittees. It's more than symbiotic. It's hierarchical. And the state GOP is in charge.
Right.
The state GOP can go to those municipalities and the individual Republican parties and dictate to them, wait a minute, you've got to clean up your act.
Well, they haven't. They have not done that yet.
Right. You would think.
Well, they have in different ways. I've seen them, and you mentioned Tom King, who is the lawyer for the Pennsylvania GOP. He's from the Pittsburgh area.
Correct.
Very good lawyer. I have no qualms about saying that about him, even though we're actually adversarial because of my lawsuit involving the state GOP. I have seen letters come out of his office directing various other county GOPs to take actions or not take actions at the direction of the state GOP. And it's just a matter of how much they want to enforce it. But it's a disgrace that in 2024, the most critical election year ever, I know they say that every time, but this time I think we all know it's make or break. And if we don't get back control of not only the federal government, but our state government this time around, we may never have another opportunity to spend $7,500, valuable dollars, on this nonsense. When you read the police investigation, which was as independent as it can be, these guys didn't have a reason to be on anybody's side.
Correct.
And you take the witness statements from their own star witnesses and star of porn and this case and look at this. Who would want to waste the money? And Geisinger is not only not a leader, he's a liar.
Yes, right. And to add to that, from what we understand, our treasurer of the NCRC told him specifically, we need to focus on this election. This is a huge election. And he was told, no, this is more important. We need to pursue this against our own committee
this
people.
Happened at the committee. Mm-hmm.
Have you done anything to publicize this to the committee people themselves?
Like emails or regular mail?
We have not, because every single time we've done that in the past, we've gotten backlash and the committee people are tired of it or checked out. They are no longer involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And guys, I mean, this potential headline could kind of sum it up, right? So we have county GOP chair hires Democrat attorney to prosecute four Christian conservative Republicans in Northampton County.
Yeah. With money from
campaign donations from Republicans in the county.
Yeah, that's a pretty good headline. Right. It's completely 100%.
That's kind of where we're at. Okay, as we had mentioned before, the police and the previous DA had closed the case and said there's nothing there, and all of a sudden the state committee rules in February against him, and all of a sudden 2 weeks later, he comes out with some new charges.
Okay, we're coming down to the last minute, and I need to get this out there, Stan, before we go off the air. Next week, we have Dave Giordano of the John Birch Society joining us, and we're going to spend an entire 2 hours with him. And on April 24th, this is a real treat, we have Scott Kesterson from Bards FM, Bards Nation,
2 days
joining
before
us.
My birthday.
Well, you can come in, and he'll say happy birthday to you, This guy blends ministry, Bible, and truth and today's news like no one else. And thank you so much to the Northampton County Four.
I just want to say, if the committee people are checking out, you don't want them as committee people. I'm just saying, because I'll tell you what, this is the stuff that you got to get done. You have to go through those weeds to get to good leadership and a good committee.
All right, so they're seemingly they want 20 seconds. So I just want to say thank you to Deborah Biro, Melanie Heilman, and Stephen Lynch and Richard Maria for joining us today. And Stephen, you can take a few minutes to say the last few words you want to tell us.
The biggest thing, you know, we obviously
– 2 seconds, I mean.
This is going to be something that's going to be very expensive. We're looking – these are people that should not be dealing with this. We are going to be shelling out tens of thousands of dollars for attorney fees. So we did – we actually had a committee person, someone that is a local Republican, had put together a Give, Send, Go account. So we could definitely – the Give, Send, Go account for defeating this is listed as – Defeat Lawfare Now. So if you go to the Give, Send, Go, it's Defeat Lawfare Now. All of that money that would be brought in through that Give, Send, Go account – will be used for these legal fees, and we would
we'll shout that out for you every week. How's that?
I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having us on, guys. Don't back down, and come back next week when we have Dave Giordano.
This was great. Thank you.
That I would be in the middle of a political movement, I would have said, put down Hunter's crack pipe. Right now. Right now.
I can't afford the groceries. I can't afford your It's Bidenflation across the nation. 81 million votes my ass.
class.
They've pissed off an already pissed off woman.
81 million votes, my